Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Let me remind you, we are actually studying what is written in Quran chapter 17 to look at some of the errors and the contradictions and the nonsense of the word of Allah in the Quran. But as we began the chapter, we realized that Muhammad claimed that he had performed a miracle, and that miracle was he was taken from some mosque to a further mosque. And that's where Muslim scholars claim that Muhammad was taken from Mecca to Jerusalem, and then he was ascended to even the seven heavens. And obviously, as we have seen before, that even in the same chapter, Muhammad did not claim that he performed any miracles, because simply, as he stated, that only miracles are with Allah, and Allah sent miracles before, and he did not cause anybody to believe in Allah, and finally, he was just simply a warner. Obviously, as we shared before, also that Muslim scholars of today, these are the ones who live in the 21st century, claim that Muhammad performed hundreds, but even thousands of miracles, when in reality, the Quran clearly teaches that Muhammad did not perform any miracles. Even Quran chapter 17, verse 1, is talking about some servant of Allah without telling us who is that servant or how that miracle ever took place. But on the other hand, we discovered from the Quran that Moses performed miracles and people believed in him, which is the opposite of what Muhammad stated about why Allah did not send any miracles on him. Because he stated, once again, that nobody would believe in him if he performed any miracles. We also discovered from the Quran that Jesus, Isa, the son of Mary, performed great miracles covering four of the attributes of Allah, which make Isa, son of Mary, God Almighty, if Muslims believe Allah is God. But we also went a little bit deeper into the Bible to see that, yes, Jesus performed great miracles and people believed in him because of his miracles. And I said in one of our broadcasts, I don't believe it is right for me to compare the God of the heavens and the earth to a sinful man by the name Muhammad. So that's why I decided to move a little bit deeper in our study to look at some miracles performed by some real prophets. I'm talking about true prophets in the Old Testament, and I only picked up two prophets, that is Prophet Elijah, and we talked about seven of his miracles. I know that when you go through the Bible or some of the writings of the theologians of the Bible, they will tell you that Prophet Elijah performed eight miracles. Some actually made them nine, because this is different opinions. I simply believe that he performed seven miracles. Why I do not believe in eight? Because the destruction of the 51 men who came and asked him to meet with King Ahaziah, and he refused, but actually he called on fire to come from heaven and consume them. That happened twice, and I did not count it to be two miracles, but simply one miracle. Add to that also that some theologian believes that for Elijah to be fed by the raven, which brought him bread and meat every day during the time when he was living by the creek, that means it's another miracle he performed. And I said, no, he did not perform that miracle, because it was simply God providing to him. God is the one who performed that miracle. Don't forget now, in our last broadcast, we talked about the fact that Prophet Elijah was ascended to heaven after performing his last miracle, which is the crossing of the Jordan River after splitting the water on dry land with the new prophet, which will take place after him, that is Prophet Elisha. And Prophet Elisha asked Prophet Elijah if he will be able to receive a double portion of Prophet Elijah's power. And because he saw him when he was taken up in the storm, when he was separated from him by the chariot of fire, now we know that he will receive the double portion, the double power, as Prophet Elijah promised him. If he saw him, he will have his request. So obviously from our study in our last two broadcasts, we know that Prophet Elijah performed 7 or 8 miracles. Now we have to see in the Bible if Prophet Elisha will perform 14 or 16 miracles. Once again, because some of his miracles were 2 miracles in one. So depending how you count his miracles. That is the double portion which God has empowered Prophet Elisha with. The first of Prophet Elisha's miracles is what we read in the Bible in the book of 2 Kings chapter 2. Just immediately after he was separated from Prophet Elijah. And that is what we read in verses 14 and 15. As we read, then he, that is Prophet Elisha, took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now notice the result of that miracle. By the way, this miracle was just like the last miracle of Prophet Elijah. And now let's see, was there any effect for him to perform that miracle using the mantle of Prophet Elijah? In verse 15 we read, now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him. Saw who? Saw Prophet Elisha. Saw him doing what? Crossing the Jordan River using the mantle of Elijah the prophet to split the water so he can walk on dry land. We read in the Bible, they said, these are the sons of the prophets, the spirit of Elijah rested on Elisha, and they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Now we know the evidence that Prophet Elisha is a true prophet, and now he has received the power or the spirit of Prophet Elijah. How is that proven to the sons of the prophets? It's very simple, because they saw that miracle. So miracles in the Bible is not just some magic or some show off. No, they have a reason. They have a purpose. And the purpose here is the evidence that Elisha is a prophet and he is performing the power of the previous prophet, which is Prophet Elijah. Similar to that first miracle we read about in the Bible, when Prophet Moses was sent by God from the land of Midian to Egypt to take his people, these are the children of Israel, out of Egypt to the promised land. When Moses said, what if they did not believe me? God did not tell him, oh well, if they believe, it's good for them. If they don't believe, it's too bad. No. God provided Moses with 3 miracles. The rod, which changed to snake, his own hand, which became leprous by putting it in his bosom. And the 3rd miracle was to take some of the water of the river of Egypt and dump it in the ground, and it will become blood. And God said, if they did not believe you that I have sent you by the 2 miracles, they will believe by seeing the 3rd miracle. So miracles in the Bible is not just for no reason. There was a reason. And the reason in the case of Moses, that people believed that he was sent by God to take them out of slavery, out of the hardship of being abused in Egypt, to the promised land, which is for God to fulfill his promise to their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now we see the 1st miracle of Prophet Elisha, which proves to the sons of the prophets that he is now performing by the power of Prophet Elijah, whom they believed to be a true prophet of God. We read about in verse 16 and 17, the request of the sons of the prophet to search for the body of Prophet Elijah, because they said, perhaps the Spirit of God has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. First, Prophet Elisha told them not to do it, but they insist to do it. They urge him until he was ashamed to say no. He sends them, and they did that for 3 days, but they did not find the body of Prophet Elijah. That's when he told them, did I not tell you not to search for his body? Because obviously Elijah was taken to heaven and Prophet Elisha know for sure that God will not just cast him onto some mountain or in some valley. That was the first miracle Prophet Elisha performed after he received the double portion of the power of Prophet Elijah.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
Let's move on to the next miracle, which we read in the book of 2 Kings in chapter 2 in verses 19 to 22. For there we read, then the men of the city said to Elisha, please notice the situation of this city is pleasant as the Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground barren. And he, that is Prophet Elisha, said, bring me a new bowl and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt there and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness. So the water remains healed to this day according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. Bad water causes the entire land of the city to be bad. And the miracle which was performed here for Prophet Elisha to put some salt in a brand new dish in the midst of that source of water, and there the miracle was performed. Not only the water became good, but the whole entire city became good land until the time where that book was written. And I believe this is a great miracle. It is beyond nature. It is beyond science. It is how little salt in the middle of water, which was bad, turned everything to be good. Now we can close 2 Kings chapter 2 with one more great miracle. May some would see it as a curse, not a miracle. But in my personal opinion and my heart belief, that is a miracle. We will see why. For in verses 23 to 25, we read the following. Then he, that is Prophet Elisha, went up from there to Bethel. And as he was going up the road, some youth came from the city and mocked him and said to him, go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head. So he, that is Prophet Elisha, turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youth. Then he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. What was the miracle here? It is God answered the prayer of Prophet Elisha concerning these young men who were mocking him. How can this be a miracle when 42 of them were killed by these two female bears? The answer is very simple. They were insulting the prophet of God, mocking him, not only him personally, but mocking the prophet who was before him. Because obviously people heard about prophet Elijah ascending to heaven, and here we hear them mocking him. Go up, you bald head, go up. Meaning, go ahead and get to heaven. That is double mocking. They're mocking prophet Elijah, who was taken up to heaven, and they are mocking the new man who is here with the double power of the spirit of prophet Elijah. God answered the prayer of prophet Elisha and caused these 42 young men to die by these two female pairs, because the insult on the man of God is also the insult on God who sent his men. Now let's talk about prophet Elisha performing the fourth miracle, which is actually a fulfillment to a prophecy he made. Because if he would say, this is what is going to happen, and if it did not happen, that means he's not a prophet. He was just somebody pretending to be a prophet. But if he said, this is what is going to happen, and that is exactly what happened, now we can call him a prophet. Now, to call him a true prophet or not, it depends on what God that man will worship and whom he will lead his people to worship. Obviously, we know from the Bible that prophet Elisha prophesied, and his prophecy was fulfilled, and he led the children of Israel to worship the true God, the God of the Bible. That's why we believe in him to be a true prophet. And without further ado, let me share with you the prophecy of prophet Elisha and its fulfillment to be miracle number 4 in the life of that great man of God. And that is what is written in 2 Kings chapter 3, beginning from verse 16 to 25. For there we read, and he, that is prophet Elisha, said, thus says the Lord. When you hear the word, thus says the Lord, it is God speaking through the man of God to give a prophecy. What did God say? He continued to say, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. Notice, normally, as we know in that piece of land, that people get water somewhere by the rain. And the rain is the work of the wind carrying the cloud from one place to another. And when the rain comes down, here we see the water. But that's not how prophet Elisha prophesied by the word of God. He's telling them, no wind, which means no rain. And now you're going to have a valley filled with water? Yes, indeed, that is the promise and the prophecy of prophet Elisha. Not only that, he continued to say in verse 18, and this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. So now it's a great prophecy concerning a great victory, which God is going to accomplish by the hand of the children of Israel, that they will have a great victory in the battle against the Moabites. How this will happen? God will deliver the Moabites into the hand of the children of Israel. In verse 19, we read, also, continuing with the prophecy, the word of God given to the children of Israel through his prophet, prophet Elisha, you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city, and shall cut down every good tree and stop up every spring of water and ruin every good piece of land with stones. Wow, what a great prophecy. If we say this is not the word of God given to prophet Elisha, we can say the ability to fulfill the details given in the prophecy is slim. That is close to nothing. But let us see, will this be fulfilled or not? For as we read in verse 20, now it happened in the morning. We're not talking about a few months later or a few weeks later or a few days later. No. In the morning, when the grain offering was offered, that suddenly water came by way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. What a great way to see the fulfillment of a prophecy. In verse 21, we read, and when all the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them, all who were able to bear arms and older were gathered, and they stood at the border. In verse 22, we read, "Then they rose up early in the morning, and the sun was shining on the water. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, 'This is blood. The kings have surely struck swords and have killed one another. Now, therefore, Moab to the spoil.'" In verse 24, we read, "So when they came to the camp of Israel, Israel rose up and attacked the Moabites, so that they fled before them, and they entered their land, killing the Moabites. Then they," these are the children of Israel, "destroyed the cities, and each man threw a stone on every good piece of land and filled it. And they stopped up all the springs of water and cut down all the good trees, but they left the stones of Kirhasef intact. However, the slingers surrounded and attacked it." Can you imagine that with me? The prophecy of Prophet Elisha, with all its details, was fulfilled in the following day, not weeks or months later. And everything God spoke through Prophet Elisha came to pass. That is now a great evidence for all the children of Israel. As a matter of fact, that is a great evidence for us today. All the people who can hear that which is written in 2 Kings chapter 3 concerning the prophecy of Prophet Elisha and its fulfillment. We must believe, as a result of that great miracle, that this is a true prophet. He is the man of God who came and spoke the word of God, and it was all fulfilled. Once again, not in the case of Muhammad, a man who claimed to be a prophet in 23 years, never prophesied about anything, not in detail, and nothing was fulfilled. What a great difference between Prophet Elisha and the self-proclaimed prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad. And that was miracle number 4. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.